It's a good story, the story of John the Baptist and the story of Jesus. When I was a youth, I was invited to attend a neighboring church's summer camp. Here I learned how to sailboard on the still waters of Lake Muskoka. I learned to care for and trail ride a very gentle horse. I learned how to fall off a very gentle horse and then to climb back on. I learned a pile of new Christian praise songs, and I tasted the best food made by the omas or the grandmas in the kitchens. But here I also learned that the voice of God was a common occurrence for those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you all, but when I think of the voice of God, sometimes I think of the voice of Morgan Freeman. But I highly doubt God sounds like that. And there at camp, I delved into a crisis of faith, because how was it that I, a trying to be perfect, biblical law-abiding, God-fearing, desperate teenager, could not hear God's voice? I did everything I could. I prayed. I sang the songs. I even went up to the altar call, even though I already had accepted Christ into my heart. I did all of that, and still the voice of God eluded me. I tell you, I went home and I felt somehow a little bereft. Now, I have learned since that the voice of God comes to our awareness in many ways. And just because we don't hear the voice in the same way as others do, by no means is the voice that we do hear invalid. And I'm only going to mention this once now, is that there are many different voices that we hear, some of which claim to be the voice of God, but are the voices of the false gods of greed, entitlement, selfishness, ones that promote fear instead of peace, ones that work for discord instead of unity. There are a lot of those voices out there, and it's always best to discern the voice of God within the community of Christian believers and as it aligns with Scripture. So I'm only going to mention that once. That said, our Scripture in the Bible and is full of examples of people hearing God's voice in many different ways. The voice of God is heard through the senses, seen through the senses, in nature and creation around us. In Psalm 29:3-9, the writer reminds us that the voice of God is thundering, storming, crashing, flooding, and burning through the earth. The voice of God is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. Say that fast. Flashes forth flames of fire. And the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And I think of a red, hot, angry God whose judgments are fierce, whose power is unforgivably vast, who causes islands to fall under the weight of lava and ash. I think of that when I think of that powerful creation, creating, moving God. And the psalm, with its repetition of the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, is relentlessly driving home the awesome power and the terrible majesty of the voice and its owner. There is nothing else that compares to God's voice. And I'm sure that many of you, when going for hikes or driving through this beautiful countryside, have seen and experienced and heard this voice of God. Many of you have been down to, what's that? New Orleans, right? To help rebuild after the hurricanes. You've seen what God can do. Mount St. Helens erupting, ash all over the place. This is the power of God. The voice that strips away the cedars and the forests also strips away all of our pretenses of power and control. The voice that flashes fire and lightning erases any notion of our own insight and understanding. The voice that shakes the earth shakes all of our sureties and assumptions and plans, and we are left with no defense and no possible response except one. And all we can do is say, oh Lord, we are so small and you are so big. Save us. Yet in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, we read the voice sounding much different. Elijah was commanded to go out and stand on the mountains before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and he stood in front of the entrance of his cave. And then there was the voice of God coming to him and saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? So we have the contrasting voice of God. We have this powerful, shaking, earth, ripping the cedars out voice, and a powerful silence. And the voice of God is heard in other ways too. We read, Adam, where are you? God speaking to Adam, his beloved, in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned. And we hear how Moses' whole countenance was changed after he went up to the mountain and talked to God. And what about that passage in Samuel where that little boy is sleeping? And God says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel gets up and runs over to Eli and says, Eli, here I am. And he does that a number of times, two or three times. And finally, Eli figures it out that it's God talking. And then instructs Samuel the correct response. And Samuel responds adequately the next time. And then receives a message of judgment. Not a pleasant, I love you, God be with you. But it's Samuel's first prophecy, first prophetic word that he hears. And that brings us to the prophets, the minor and the major prophets. Prophets like Jonah and Amos and Hosea and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you know, on all of them. The ones that are compelled to go to their religious leaders, to their political leaders, and proclaim, thus says the Lord. And usually their prophecies are a reminder that the people are finite and God is huge. And these prophets had no choice, not even poor Jonah, who was very angry. Their mouths were the conduits of God's words to the people. The word of God just flowed right through them. And today in our scripture from Mark, we hear God's voice speaking to Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here in Mark 1, 9 to 11, read from the NRSV, we read, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out, up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you." God's voice claiming and naming and pleased. It seems that the voice of the Lord can make you or break you. And I'm not even sure if I would like to hear the voice of God claiming me. It seems like it would be a really scary thing. And who wants to have the responsibility of being an advocate for this impossible and unpredictable, judging, loving, tenderly caring, universe-creating, earth-shattering, whispering God? As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God in the flesh. How did Jesus cope with this voice inside of him? How did Jesus hold all these contrasting voices of God within him and not go crazy? And what was his voice like? What was Jesus' voice like? Did he shake the mountains and cause floods to rise and destroy? We know that Jesus used God's voice of judgment. "Woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you shall hunger. And woe to all of you when all speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." We hear those voices of judgment. Jesus uses God's voice of compassion. He wept God's tears at the loss of a friend. He said, "Do not weep." He said, "Mary, don't be afraid. It is I." And as he walked towards the boat on the water, he also said, "Don't be afraid." And he said, "Rise up, daughter. Your faith has made you well." His voice raised the dead. His voice cured the sick and the destitute. His voice calmed the storms, and his voice forgave sins. His voice welcomed the children, and his voice chastised the moneylenders in the temple. His voice says, "I pray to the Father for you." And his voice said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." And I believe his risen voice was probably the most beautiful voice the disciples ever heard. Jesus was far bigger than what we read in the scripture. And I know often for us, at least for me, it seems that it could be really easy to put Jesus in a little box and pull him out whenever I need to feel good. There's this one movie that I've seen. I forget what it's called. Bryce knows it. Where there's a buddy Jesus in it. And a buddy Jesus is a statue that they made, and it's a picture of Jesus going, Jesus is not our buddy. There are things that are far bigger than Jesus. Than it's like we are not, Bryce and I are not Anna and Luke's friends. We are their parents. This is much bigger than that. But at the same time, I did say your name, Anna. But at the same time, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is here for us, remembers us, and reminds us of God's infinite love. And it's only when we face our minuteness, when we know how small we are in the grand scheme of the universe, can we truly say that we have nothing and are nothing compared to the love of God. You see, it's not the strong or the confident, the self-possessed or the proud. It's the weak, the helpless, the chastened, those who have received mercy and grace undeserved and are humbled. It's those who lay down their arms, their possessions, their pride, and say, God, use me. It is one of the things, I don't know the right word for this either, one of the emotions perhaps that when we are baptized, when we go and have water poured on us or are dunked or however it is that we do it, we are telling the world and affirming with God, yes, here I am, use me. And it's when we can say these words and mean them that we open ourselves, like our bodies become like the sky opened and receive the love of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be baptized. That's not what I'm saying. When we let go of all our stuff and open ourselves, that we hear the voice of God. And when we face this infinite love, when it becomes a part of who we are, then we, like Jesus, can begin to truly hear what God is saying. And what does the Spirit of God speak to you? It was several years after my camping experience when I was still beating myself up for my imperfections. I believe that I heard the clear, strong voice of God calling to me. It began a change in me that's still moving in me today. So I was in the middle of a great personal struggle with depression and self-image and body image, and this was destroying my life. One day when I was on a long run, I heard a voice that literally stopped my legs from running. And I haven't had the desire to run away since. I fell to my knees, and I heard the voice of God saying to me, Emily, you don't have to be perfect. To hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to realize that you are not God. To hear the voice of the Lord, you've got to realize that there is nothing that you can do to hide from God. And to hear the voice of God, you've got to realize that you are nothing before God, and you are everything because of God. The voice of God is terrifying. Mountains shake, floods come, fires rage. Do you hear it? The voice of God is calming, consoling. Do not fear. I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The voice of God is judging. What are you doing here? You are my beloved. Turn from your ways. In you I am well pleased. And the voice of God, who spoke and creation began, looks on all that God has made and called it good. The only thing that we can be certain of is that God, in all of God's amazing wildness, loves us with a love so fierce that he sent his interpreter to us. And we, if you have ears to hear, if we have ears to hear and hearts that are ready to be judged and loved, are we ready to hear and to listen to this voice of God?